Hear once again these words that come to us from the prophet Isaiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. May God's blessing be upon the reading and hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture, their teaching and claim upon our lives, we are indebted to you. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we ask and pray that you will give us comfort and rest, a sense of peace, O God, from the activities and the events of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. As we journey through this season of Advent and make preparations for Christmas, we're going to look at the stories of Christmas that come to us through the Christmas carols. And so today we are going to be looking at that wonderful hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. Now, usually when I pick the hymns out, if some of you are curious, I usually use the first one as some type of a praise hymn. The second one is a little more subdued, setting the tone for prayer. And the third hymn somehow ties in with the sermon. Why are hymns important? Well, consider Psalm chapter 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Hymns is also another way for us to tell the story. For indeed, there is a rich history and tradition within our hymns. God is good. God is steadfast. God's love endures forever. And God is faithful to all the generations. Why would we then not come into God's presence with a joyful noise, with gladness, and with singing? O come, all ye faithful. Now, it was not until after World War II that we found out who wrote this wonderful hymn, an English Catholic priest named John Francis Wade. He put his finishing touches on this great hymn in 1750. In the past century, it has been recorded hundreds of times by some of the greatest entertainers in history. It's even one of the few traditional carols to land on the record charts, making it to the top 10 three different times. It has been translated into more than 150 languages, used in thousands of cantatas and musical productions, and it has been called by some critics as the greatest carol ever written. Now, for several hundred years, it was believed that the person who wrote O Come All Ye Faithful was an unknown cleric from the Middle Ages or even before. Legend had it that St. Bonaventure had penned the words, and so it came as quite a shock when an English scholar, Maurice Frost, discovered 7 O Come All Ye Faithful transcripts written by hand and signed by John Francis Wade. The next and often still repeated legend began in London around 1860 when O Come All Ye Faithful was performed at the Portuguese embassy. The organist, Vincent Novell, informed his audience that a man named John Redding had composed the melody, and the song was published by Redding and is often referred to as the Portuguese hymn. Now, in America, as in most of the world, this song was adopted by many Christian churches before 1900. It was one of the focal points in the caroling movement when churches would roam around the city or the town on perhaps some evening or afternoon, singing wonderful carols to those in their homes, and often they would sing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful," as one of the closing choruses. If you'd like, open your hymnal to page 234 to this wonderful hymn. And as we look at the first verse, it indeed appears as if angels are speaking to each and every one of us. "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of angels." And then the second verse, "True God of true God, light from light eternal, lo, he shuns not the virgin's womb, Son of the Father begotten, not created." And we'll realize that those words sound a little familiar. And if you'd flip back into the creeds, to the Nicene Creed numbered 880, you will read these words: "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made." Now, the original Nicene Creed was adopted in the year 325 at the First Council of Nicaea. Verse 3, "Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye citizens of heaven above, glory to God, all glory in the highest." Once again, the angels are singing and proclaiming their full exultation to the world that the child of Bethlehem, the Christ child, has been born. "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given, Word of the Father now in flesh appearing. Yes, Lord, we've come to greet you. Birthdays are indeed wonderful days of joy and celebration." Just as the angels in the third verse were singing to their full exultation, we likewise are called to give all glory to the Word of the Father who now is among us as flesh and blood and bone. For John's gospel rings true in those opening words of that first chapter: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him who is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as we journey through Advent, may we continually come to adore him, to praise him, and to serve the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. O God, we pray even now that your Spirit will rest upon us, preparing us to receive this child of Bethlehem through this holy meal of communion, through this love, grace, and forgiveness that Christ offers to each and every one of us. O God, may we humbly bow at our King. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.